Christ Jesus. We all have needs, especially these days. Spiritual needs, physical needs, practical needs. Well, Paul here, isn't it striking how at the end of the letter, having received a gift from the church in Philippi, his need was met through the brethren in this case. And so he's speaking from personal experience. He's speaking by way of a practical example. Paul says, I know this to be true. My God shall meet all of your needs. He's going to take care of you, brethren. Well, the writer of the psalm says, from God's perspective, or maybe the psalmist's perspective, he's never seen a righteous man begging bread. Well, God's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. Believe him for this, dear ones. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, all of these are wonderful passages, no doubt. Wonderful passages, dear ones, which I hope to open up to you line upon line and precept upon precept, God helping me. And so, having seen the author, recipient, scenario, purposes, major themes, outline, and key verses of this book, I want to close by making just two brief applications. Two closing applications. One, for you here this day who are Christians, and then one for you here this day who are not Christians. And so firstly, for you who are Christians, brethren, let me say that since the book of Philippians is an immensely practical book, which touches on many of the major themes in our lives together as God's people in the church, my prayer is that our verse-by-verse studies of this book will utterly transform your life. Now, that's my prayer. My prayer is that as we consider this book together, that you'll become more like Jesus in your attitude, that you'll grow in humility and in your relationships with others in the church, being like-minded. And my prayer is, beloved, that as we consider this book together, your desire to minister to the needs of others will greatly grow, just as the Philippian church ministered to Paul. Okay, so remember again, point one, the church at Philippi hears about Paul in prison. Okay, Paul's in a Roman prison. The church is in Philippi. So they send who? Epaphroditus to Paul. How far does Epaphroditus travel to get to Paul? 800 miles. It's a long trip. But he did it out of his love for Paul. He did it because Paul went to Philippi and preached the gospel to those folks and they got saved through the gospel. But you see, the church's heart and desire to serve. There is a need. Let's meet the need. Let's be a church that's constantly meeting the need. Brother Nate just sent out an email. There's some needs. Let's meet the need. Let's be that kind of church. My prayer is that we will be like this. And so you say, what's my application to you concerning these things? Well, it is this. That you pray that all these things will be so for you. I told you my prayer. What's the application for you? Pray that all of these things will be so for you. Dear ones, here it is. I'll say it as plainly as I can. Every week before you come to this place to hear this book expounded, sometimes morning and evening, pray God, oh God, help me to learn your truth this day. Help me to receive what you teach me in this book so that I might be a transformed person, that I might be a better Christian than when I first began to hear this book. Let's not just hear with the outer ear, but let's hear with the inner man. Let's not be hearers only of the word, beloved brethren, but doers, thereof. Application, pray that. Each week before you come into this place. And so what about you here as I completely end now and say something to you who are not Christians? You're not a true Christian, which means, according to the Bible, you haven't been born again. That's what a real Christian is. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you're not going to heaven. That's his words, not mine. So what about you here today? You're not truly born again. You don't know Jesus. You haven't received a new heart so that you love him. You want to follow him. You want to obey him. What can I say to you here this day? Well, what I can say to you is, friend, you also need to pray as we consider the book of Philippians together. And what should you pray? Well, you should pray that what happened to the founding members of the church at Philippi would happen to you. That's what you should pray. You remember we read earlier from Acts chapter 16 that God opened Lydia's heart that she might understand the things spoken by Paul. Pray God, oh God, open my heart. Like you did Lydia's heart. This is not a unique thing for her, no. This is true of everyone who becomes a Christian. God must open your heart. Pray God, oh God, open my heart that I might understand the gospel, that I might see Jesus' beauty, that I might see myself in truth as I am before God as a guilty sinner, that I might run to the Savior who freely cleanses guilty sinners, who covers them with his righteousness, who makes them acceptable before God, all by his own. Pray that you'll be like the founding members of the church at Philippi. Pray that God will open your heart. And then secondly, pray that you'll be like the Philippian jailer. Why? Well, because that man who had bound Paul, by God's doing, came to see his sinnerhood before the Almighty God. And thus, when Paul and Silas stood before him, he cried out, saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Pray that you would cry out to God, saying, "What must I do to be saved?" You say, what does the word saved mean? Maybe you're visiting here today. There are several visitors. The word saved simply means to be delivered. Delivered from what? God's wrath. Why God's wrath? Because God is angry with you because of your sins before him. He must punish your sins. His justice demands that he punishes your sins. So pray that you will pray like the Philippian jailer prayed, "What must I do to be saved? How do I get delivered from God's judgment for my sins against him?" Well, Paul gave the answer very simply with reference to that question. What must you do to be saved? The answer is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Trust in who Jesus is, the Son of God, and what he did 2,000 years ago on the cross, died as a sacrifice for our sins. Turn from your sins and put all your faith and trust in his accomplished work. Because the moment we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ alone for life and salvation, God forgives us of all of our sins. And he makes us his very own children. So, dear Christian people here, you've got your application. My dear non-Christian friends here this day, pray that you will cry out to God, that you will seek him in truth, and that you might become a real Christian. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so thankful. Again, as I began the message, for your word. It is a light to our pathway and a lamp to our feet. And God, as we have taken this broad overview of Philippians, I pray, oh God, that it will be useful for the days ahead. That we will know where we are, where we're going, and what's happening, oh God. We pray you would bless our considerations. We believe you for your blessings. And we ask and pray them all through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.